Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook at JBT Podcast and give us a like, review on iTunes. Now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Hello, hello, all you beautiful people all across Australia and indeed across the world. My name is Nick Busink, and thank you so much for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You are listening to episode 1.3 on this Sunday. On this Sunday, the 6th of November. And with me today, we have the J-Man J-Pod, Jack Manuel. How are you? How are we, mate?
Very well, my friend, very well. I'm now 26 years old. Porridge tastes different. Ball still is the same, though, so ball is still life. So I'm still going very well, my friend. Thank you for asking.
That's good to hear. Happy birthday, by the way. And
You didn't even say happy birthday.
Another year older, mate. Another year wiser.
Thanks for the lame Facebook post. When, like, you were talking yesterday, you were all about business with the J-Man. Like, we're friends, Nick. Come on, mate. We're brothers. Like, I mean, like, we're both god brothers, but, you know, we're brothers, aren't we?
No. Now,
that's just not nice.
No, you're not my friend, Jack.
Am I just your associate?
You're my business associate, yes. tell the nice people what you've been up to this week, Jack.
Apart from my birthday celebrations, which my lovely girlfriend has taken me on, I posted on the page as well. I made a JBT shirt, a Just Ball Things shirt, at this London tea shop, and it came out spectacularly. And if any listeners are out there want one, hashtag JBT pod, hit us up. I can get you one made for a cool £25. I'll be taking £5 out profit, though. I also bought some Raptors tickets. What did you think of the shirt, by the way, Nick? Do you think it looks all right?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's simple. But I like that. Yeah, it's like a tee that you could actually ball in, and I like that.
It's very durable. It's a nice fabric as well, which I wanted to invest in. I didn't want to go in one of those cheapo printing places. The design, shout out to Chaz Wuzzles for the design. The design came out really nicely as well with the logo and stuff. But on other ball-related things that I've been up to this week, I bought tickets to that Raptors game that I was mentioning in an earlier podcast. So the Raptors Minnesota game, December 8th, I'll be heading to, which I'm super excited for, so that's going to be awesome as well.
Any ball that we can watch live is always good. When we took that trip to America, was all we did?
Well, the Wizards game was shit, to be fair, Nick. Like, that was horrible.
We got torn apart. How good was Dwight?
Yeah, you were destroyed. But how good was Dwight Howard's block in that New York Knicks-Houston Rockets game? That just brought the house. Oh, no, his dunk, sorry. His posterizer on Kristaps
Porzingis. Posterizer is always good. Good to get the crowd in.
That was one of the best moments of my life. Like, I'm not joking. Like, the security guard, like, everyone was just like, oh! And yeah, at Madison Square Garden, highly recommend. I'm looking forward to heading back to New York and experiencing ball in, you know, the home of ball, really, New York City.
That's it. All right, Jackie.
Nick, what have you been up to, mate, with your WoW sort of stuff?
Cat's out of the bag now. For all you that don't know, I do dabble on the occasional few hours of World of Warcraft. Yes, I'm a nerd. But that has, you know, been good for the podcast because we're using a new software at the moment, Discord, just to try to get a cleaner sound. So I guess
you guys
are the judge of that. You know, I don't really like hearing Jack's voice clearer. I think it's annoying enough as it is. But
thanks, mate.
Let us know if it's any better or worse. You know, just give us your feedback. But Jack,
because either way, we'd like to just find out. We're testing things out. We're still in the formative stages of this podcast, and we want to make the best product for us, but also for you guys, because you guys are what makes the podcast. We love making this for you guys as much as we enjoy making it. But, Nicky boy, let's get on to some basketball news. What are we kicking off with first, mate?
Just with some general news, Jack. What has been happening around the NBA? Well, As many of you may know, Ray Allen has officially announced his retirement. Unbeknownst to Rajon Rondo. I still
Did you not hear his quote? No, I didn't. What did he say?
He thought he retired 2 years ago. They asked him about his retirement. He's like, "Oh, he's not retired." And I'm just like, "Oh my god, come on, man!"
Rajon Rondo for me is just like this. He's a weird dude. He looks. How much does he look like a praying mantis though? Like he's just like Rajon Rondo. Yeah, he's a very crafty basketballer. He's like the praying mantis. He'll drop a dime. But yeah, Ray Allen's retirement is just huge news for the NBA. Like, what are you going to remember him most for, mate? He's one of the greatest three-point shooters ever. Is there a moment that sticks out for you?
Well, I think it's pretty NBA-wide, I guess. Any NBA fan would know his three-point shot that kept Miami in the playoffs against the Spurs. Big moment.
I remember. Yeah, it was huge. I remember specifically, like, you know those moments where you remember where you are, Nick, and it's just like you can remember all the moments.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was at my internship for Everguide, which is this media organization. And in the background while I was working, I had the game on like an illegal stream. And I remember seeing that 3-point shot by Ray Allen and just jumping out of my seat. And I can't describe the feeling. Like even in hindsight, I can't describe how. Because at that stage, I was following LeBron and the Heat, and I hadn't really formed my love of the Nets yet. Plus, I was just going for whoever LeBron was playing for. And it was just a huge moment, and it just proves how clutch he is and, like, how amazing his three-point shot is. Like, whenever we play 2K, everyone always gets Ray Allen because he's just the best three-point shooter ever. Yes, Steph and Clay, but these guys wouldn't be around if it wasn't for someone who made the three-point shot cool. And it's almost changed the NBA to this day, Nick, his shot.
I reckon he revolutionized the game, and he did, and you're right, he did in turn create these players. We're seeing the NBA move into a more of a it's more of a shooter's game.
It's 3D,
and you know, I love it. It's very spectacular when you see threes getting drained. And he started this revolution, and
from his days back in the Seattle Supersonics to his days more recently with the was he actually with the Cavs or did he retire from the Heat? Because I understand Rajon Rondo because I don't remember his last game because there was always that talk like was he going to join back with LeBron?
He never ended up signing. He's been out of the game for 2 years.
Yes, and, I guess Rajon Rondo is right to an extent.
Yes, but it's like when he retired, the spectacle happened. That never happened, and it never clicked that it's like, oh, hey, if he retired, I probably would have known about it.
Yeah, it's the Players Tribune article that he posted and stuff, and it was good. Look, it's a sad day for the NBA, Nick, but in lighter terms, in more funny terms, did you do anything fun for Halloween this year, Nicky boy?
Oh, I'm not a big bit of a killjoy with Halloween. I think most of Australia is. Oh, we're getting more into it, but I didn't do anything. I worked, and
fun times.
Yeah, I know. It's that was it. The most exciting thing about Halloween for me this year was watching basketball, so that was you know, I can't complain with that.
Yeah, well, did you see LeBron's Halloween party? Did you see what was happening there?
I did, but I can feel your excitement in wanting to explain this to the people.
Let me stop you right there and let me speak because I'm giddy. I want to explain this. I'm so happy about this. So I'm sure many people have seen on like Instagram and all around the social medias that LeBron had this skeleton kick drum prop that was trolling the 3-1 Warriors, and it had a skeleton, like a person that's dead, and it had 3-1 on it. So obviously it was just like, you know, Nick, hashtag, what are we hashtagging here?
Hashtag 3-1?
Stay woke. Hashtag stay woke.
Hashtag stay like, woke, sorry.
We say this so
I'm
often.
So Have out of it.
Stay woke.
Hashtag then, stay woke.
Nick, you did see the cookies, though. Please tell me you saw the cookies.
Oh, boy, did I see those cookies. Oh, one of those cookies.
Tasty. Tell, They actually looked all right. They were well designed. Like, whoever the cake designer was, and like, Ali's a really nice cake designer too. But the cakes looked nice. And what was on these little cookies?
Well, fashioned as tombstones, there were. they had the names of Steph, Clay, and Draymond with 2015.
No, they didn't have Draymond.
I didn't have Draymond. I must have missed that.
No, they just had Steph and Clay, yeah. And they had 2015-16. And then what did Clay say in response? Clay Thompson.
Clay's, it's such a white response. he's like, oh, I don't get it. I'm not dead. You're a loser.
I love
oh,
it.
Oh, God.
He's the best. But LeBron.
But, you know, joke was on LeBron. The joke was on LeBron because earlier that week, he missed a free throw terribly. Mate, yeah, look, this is, you know, he claims to be, and I tend to agree with him, the best player in the NBA missing a free, airballing a free throw, Jack.
Yeah, look, it wasn't great for my boy Nicholas. I actually can't defend him here, but. To be fair, his form was still good, and if it just was a little bit higher, like it would have gone.
At
it would have gone
hit
in.
The
I don't know.
Rim, mate. I'm I mean, trying come to on. Defend it. Even I can do that. And I'm a terrible free thrower.
Yeah, you're no, but like your form is okay. It's just that you're shit. Like you're just shit at basketball, and like I'll destroy you whenever I come back home in December. And I'll destroy Heiser, and I'll destroy Magus, and I'll destroy Chaz. I'll destroy all of you in one-on-one.
The confidence.
But that's besides the point. I am the ghost
of
friendship.
Of one-on-one. Amongst amateur basketballers.
Yeah. Plus, I can, like, I should post this video, but I can dunk now. So, like, I've got, like, if we play horse or pig, I'm going to, like, just dunk every single time. And because your fat legs can't reach the ring, I'm going to win every single time.
But oh,
speaking
right,
of dunkers...
Mate. I think I've had enough roasting for today. Let's move on quickly, Jack, because we had a few contract extensions this week, just briefly touching over. We had Oladipo, 4 years, 84 mil. Adams, four
Cha-ching.
Years, 100 mil. And Gobert, 4 years... 102 mil. So, amongst others, there was a lot of people in the same draft group getting those extensions, getting paid. What do you make of those extensions, Jackie?
Look, I think they're quite fair. And in terms of market value, I think Adams and Gobert probably could have got more on the free agent market. But the fact that they can get that steady money with OKC and with the Utah Jazz, you know, who knows what can happen in the NBA? Like, you can get a knee injury like that. So I understand. And I think it's great moves by the Utah Jazz and a great move by the OKC to lock up not only Steven Adams, but Oladipo. And look, I'm in between on Victor Oladipo. I think he's got all the attributes to be a really good basketballer, but I'm not sure where his role is as whether it's a really good sixth man or is it a starting shoot guard alongside Russell Westbrook. And like they've got a new big three now, like with Adams. Like they've invested in this future. And albeit it's a quite a young nucleus, but Steven Adams is only 23 years old. Oladipo is quite young. And then Russell Westbrook as well. I like that big three, but it's just, is it good enough to challenge the Warriors and Spurs? Well, probably not. But, you know,
right
Adams
now.
Is only going to get better.
I
think Adams is going to be probably the best center in the NBA within a few years. Mm-hmm. Oladipo is just questionable. We should put a question mark next to Victor Oladipo. I love him. He's a great dunker. He's a great personality. He looks a bit like a Ninja Turtle, but if he takes a look at him, he does. But I like it. And Gobert is already the best defensive set in the NBA. And this deal just makes so much sense for the Jazz. And I think it sort of makes sense because if they're wanting to lock up Gordon Hayward as well, if he sees that, ooh, then I think the Utah Jazz have a really, really strong future. And I like the moves that they're making as an organization, as well as the OKC for that matter. They've just got really good management and just good people, good basketball people at that organization. But anything you wanted to say, Nicky boy? What were your opinions on the three big contracts?
Well, same sort of deal. I really like the contracts. The amount, I can't look at 4 years, 100 million and not think that is too much.
But it's the new NBA, mate.
Not because it is with the salary cap increases and all that. Like money is getting thrown around like crazy. So I think you know, considering the current market, I guess it's all fair. Adams, like you said, is going to be an elite player someday. Already showing his stuff, both defensively and offensively. Oladipo has started this year really well. I like him this year.
I agree.
He is OKC. Have been struggling to find a backup to when James Harden left.
That second sort of
that shooting guard. They've been struggling to fill that shooting guard position since Harden left. And I really like how he's playing. He's shooting well.
Let me stop you. Let me stop you right there, Nicky boy, because we'll be talking a little bit about this. We had a question from Luke Magri, hashtag Maggers. He asked, like, in terms of like a big three, like who is better? Like, is it James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant? So, like, yeah, they have been. Like, I do agree, they have been trying to fill that James Harden void for so long, and like Serge Ibaka leaving as well. But I do like what they're doing. Should we take a break, Nicky boy? We've been chatting a little bit too much. We're all excited. Do we need to talk about anything else?
Nah, it's all good. We'll take a bit of a break now. And on the other side, we've got some discussion points, and as usual, players' performances of the week and our picks.
BRB.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Be sure to head on Facebook and give us a like. Welcome back, everyone, to JBT Podcast. All right, Jack, we'll kick off with some discussion points here. My question to you, mate, bit of a big one, and it was kind of made redundant, I guess, today. are the Warriors back on track for a number one seed? In our second podcast, that the Spurs seem to have overtaken them for that number one spot. Have your opinions changed?
So look, Nick, right now I'm looking at the standings on my phone. We got number one, 5-1 OKC, number two, 5-1 the LA Clippers, number three, 5-2 San Antonio Spurs, and Golden State Warriors, 4-2 with a winning percentage of 0.667. I still think that they could. Look, I'm going to sit on the fence a little bit here, but no, you know what? I'm saying the Spurs. I'm going to change my mind. I think the Spurs will probably finish on top, but I think that the Golden State Warriors will probably get them in the finals. But I do like what the Clippers are doing. I think they're going slightly under the radar. I like the continuity that they've got with their roster. And I think if the Clippers can't do it this year, then I think they're going to have to blow that up. Like, you know, they're going to have to trade Blake Griffin or CP3 or something, because, look, there's only been so many times. But, look, I don't think they will. I think the San Antonio Spurs will finish with the top seed, but I think that the Golden State Warriors, like you said, will probably come out on top in the finals. What do you think, mate?
I tend to agree with you, mate. I mean, the Warriors gave us a taste of what they had shown, or what they can show, sorry. This season against OKC, Durant putting up some crazy, crazy numbers there, crazy shooting numbers.
The Lakers game was just a huge aberration, and it just came out of nowhere. Like, I'm like, okay, Warriors versus the Lakers, that's just fait accompli. They're gonna easily take care of them. But then I wake up the next day and I'm like, what the hell happened? I've got like all these notifications, messages, and stuff. It's like it was almost like, you know, hashtag stay woke. Like, there was just so much. Like, it's just like, look, they're going to. I compare them to the Miami Heat, LeBron, D-Wade, Chris Bosh era. It took them a year or so to get that sort of. And I was speaking to Maggers about this. They didn't get that chemistry right away. They've got a completely new system that they're working in, like a new offensive system. Like, it's not just. They have to check. Like, everyone has to change their roles.
Yeah.
Like, Steph Curry has to change his role. Klay Thompson has to change his role. Draymond Green has to change his role. They've got Zaza Pachulia. Andrew Bogut is a huge underrated loss that we've said quite a bit, especially you really value him, and I agree. But Nick, you put this question in just then, and this is going to ruffle so many feathers, so many feathers. But is the age of the Splash Brothers, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, is it over?
I don't understand how you can go 5 games into the season and not shoot well. Like, it's been 5 games. It's a long season. They, you know, if they if they pick up their form now, they've still got what's that, 77 games of playing well.
Yeah.
And you know, that's still okay. If you have five off 76, games,
76.
It's five games. Oh no, there's six games in.
No, it's six.
Yeah,
there's four and two.
Sorry. Yeah, if you have 76 games of playing well and only six games of playing badly, then you've had a good season. You know.
Let me stop you right there. Nick, Clay Thompson has had this before. His form last year was quite similar.
Not this bad, man.
In terms of... Oh, it's only six games, Nick. I think you're overreacting. Like, this is like a real overreaction segment from AFL 360. You are overreacting to this. Steph Curry and Clay Thompson are still two of the best shooters in the history
of
this
game. Curry is still putting up some nice percentages. His volume of shots has, let's say, decreased because, you know...
He had 0 from 10 the other day. He's still taken 10 shots and he's shot 0. So I take what you're saying on face value.
Mm.
And I mean, his triple-double was 10 points, 10 assists and 0 from 10 from the field and from 3. you're being a bit rash here, my friend.
I just posed the question. Wrong. I'm playing devil's advocate here. It's a completely new offense. They're not catering to the Splash Brothers of old anymore. Could be with a new offense. You know, they're still going to be great shooters, but they're not going to be pulling what they did last season or the season before when this whole thing started.
Yeah, and look, I think Steve Kerr is an amazing coach, and I think this is all going to work out. But it's fun seeing it not work out as being like a Warriors hater, so to speak. Like, did you see Enes Kanter what he said to to Kevin Durant?
And it was completely due as well. He said it was along the lines of, why didn't you do this in the NBA finals?
In the playoffs.
And it's completely legitimate, and it's I love Enes Kanter.
But then I love Enes Kanter too for that reason. But then Kevin Durant like shut him down in the most perfect way. And I love KD, to be fair. Like, he's an amazing player. But he shut him down so well. He's like, how many minutes did he play?
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll tweet about it tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, that's burn. That's just like fire. Enes Kanter, RIP. You're done, mate. KD still played well that game.
Yeah. Amazing. It's just amazing.
I love this villain nature that's happening with it. This is really good for the NBA, Nick, I think.
That game solidified the Warriors'
hate.
Yeah, well, everyone's hatred for the Warriors just doing what they did to OKC.
Yeah.
And the comments coming out of it. Draymond Green stirring rocking the boat as well.
He always does, anyway.
As always, yeah.
But I love Steph Curry. I love Klay Thompson. I really like Kevin Durant. I hate Draymond Green. Like, if they didn't have Draymond Green, I don't think there would be a real villain team. Like, you replace Draymond Green with like another likable power forward, then I don't think there wouldn't be a big four anymore as well. But I mean, in terms of shooting, Nick, there's a team that's been shooting surprisingly well from three. The Chicago Bulls. Are they now somewhat of a threat in the East, to be a top two seed with Boston?
It's appearing that way. I mean, I didn't call it at the start. I don't think many people did. People calling, obviously Chicago faithful, calling themselves a super team. I didn't see it. I didn't see the Knicks as a super team when everyone was calling them a super team. I didn't see this happening. And they're... Dwayne Wade's ability to shoot from three these days. What happened?
Yeah. Okay, I was chatting to Chaz about this, and Chaz is a Bulls fan, and I actually thought that's a pretty good point. He was saying how, look, Dwayne Wade is a superstar, a legitimate bona fide superstar. He can change his game however he wants. So he was obviously practicing in that offseason, but he has had his games where he's been 0 from 3 recently. So those percentages are evening out. So I don't know if – it'll be interesting to see at the All-Star break where the Bulls are at, because right now they're only at 500, 3-3. And you know, it's early days still, but it's nice to speak about them because, you know, Dwayne Wade's a great player and a great personality for the game. And by the way, I've got him on Snapchat. Keep posting some quality snaps there, D Wade. But I don't know, what do you think their ceiling is, Nick? How high do you think they can finish in the East?
The East at the moment is pretty tight. I mean, granted, as a Wizards fan, I really thought that we'd be contending, but not too sure about that now.
We are 2-4. You are 1-4. We are the better team in the NBA. And let's make a wager, Nick. If the Nets finish higher than the Wizards this year, like, we'll figure it out. Like, if you want to add us, like, post on our page, post something for us to do, the team that finishes, like, lower. So if the Wizards finish lower, Nick has to do something. If the Nets finish lower, the J-Man has to do something. So, like, because I'm confident. I reckon you guys, I think you guys probably will. But, you know, I want to make a sportsman's wager with you, Nicholas. And I'm back in Linsanity 2.0 and Brook Lopez, who I hope we don't trade. Please don't trade.
Oh, yeah. Look, everyone has trade rooms with Rollo.
Do not trade him, please. He's my favorite player, and I still don't have a Brook Lopez jersey. But if you want to see me or Nick do something after the 82-game season, if the Nets finish 11th and the Washington Wizards finish 12th, maybe Nick has to eat my face rather than me eating his face. I don't know. Give us a post on Facebook. You know where to find us. Hashtag JVT Pod. But Nicholas, the West seems really cluttered as well this year. Like, I mean, it's obviously early days, 5 or 6 games in. But I'll go through the top 8 in the West. And okay, so, well, I think I did actually earlier. But do you think those teams will change? So like,
run it
outside
through with
the
me
top
again,
8 right now, we've got Rockets will go in.
Yeah. Run it through.
So we've got 8th Houston Rockets, 7th LA Lakers. Lakers Nation is back, Lakers City. Utah Jazz 6, Portland Blazers, Trail Blazers at 5, Golden State Warriors at 4, San Antonio Spurs at 3, LA Clippers at 2, OKC at 1. Do you think those teams will change at all, Nick? Can Memphis Grizzlies, Denver Nuggets, Phoenix Suns, Sacramento Kings, Minnesota Timberwolves, New Orleans Pelicans, or Dallas Mavericks make their way up and into that top 8? Or do you think those 8 teams, yes, the positions might change, but do you think they'll just stay and it'll just be a matter of where they finish?
Yeah, it's a lot like last season, how the West, you know, being the stronger conference, was easier to get into the playoffs. I think the same thing will happen now. Like the difference between the top 8 and the bottom 7? Yeah, 7.
Yeah.
Bottom 8. 7.
Yeah, 7. Sorry, yeah, 7.
Yep. Is just too much of a gulf. Like if you look at ninth, ninth is Rockets,
you,
mate. Rockets are ninth.
Rockets are 8th. I'm on it right now.
I'm on it right now as well.
I'm looking.
Oh well, we've got some.
Okay, what do you?
We've got some some different.
So, let's stop. Let me stop you right there. Where are you looking at the record at?
On Google.
Like
on Google, mate.
I am. Okay, well, Google is wrong. I'm on the NBA app.
All right. I trust you. So, hold on. Where are the Grizzlies? And where are the Jazz? Are the Jazz 9th?
No, the Grizzlies are 9th. But
yeah, okay,
they've got
the
same winning
record.
That's
fine. I was going to say the Grizzlies won't make it. Then, yes, I agree with you. The top 8 will stay as is, because
really?
The golf, yes, the
so
golf
you think
between,
the Lakers will actually finish in the top 8?
I think they've shown all the right things. They won't finish 6th.
Wow.
I think they'll finish 8th.
Wow, that's a big call, Nick. I think the Grizzlies will take their spot. Or even though the Minnesota Timberwolves are only 1-4, I like the Denver Nuggets, even the Phoenix Suns. I think that 8th spot is really going to be up for grabs.
I think that's Lakers have sort of have a lot of momentum. I wouldn't have said that until they beat Golden State. They show that they've got the right stuff. They've got a lot of
young,
yeah, a lot of young heart with them. So,
Luke Walton has just literally,
and Luke Walton as well. Yeah. I mean, his factor is amazing.
He's GOAT 2.0 of the coaching world under Steve Kerr. Like, he's come in and just made that organization. Like, and I mean, Swag, it's like, I don't know, Nick. Nick Young is their starting small forward, Nick.
That is troubling. And you know, to think that Nick Young starting in a playoff, in a playoff team, that's it's quite frightening.
Any team, by the way. Any team.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. I don't know. Watching the Lakers this season, they've got a feel to them. It might be a little bit naive.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've got this feeling for the Lakers, and I think they can just clinch a playoff spot.
Okay, well, I'll make another sportsman's wager with you there, Nick. If the LA Lakers do, I'm going with the Memphis Grizzlies. I think that they're just their organization. They're a consistently good organization. Zach Randolph, Mike Conley, Chandler Parsons isn't there anymore, but they've just, and Marc Gasol. Sorry, how can I forget him? I think that their maturity will take over the LA Lakers' lack of maturity, so to speak, with their age. But I'd be happy to be proven wrong because, you know, a competitive Lakers team is good for the NBA. But let's move on to a player who is on a horrible team, but I sort of feel sorry for this guy, Nick. Anthony Davis. What do we want to say about this guy?
He is a... obviously, always been speculated to be a phenomenal talent. He is proving, you know, everyone right, I guess.
Leaps and bounds, yeah, he's amazing. Yeah, and like, I mean, he's exceeding his expectations.
It started with that 50-point game in the opening season, and it was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but it feels like the association had forgotten about him after last season. You know, everyone jumped on the Cat bandwagon. Everyone was rolling on his hype. And then this 50-point game happened, and it's just like, oh, yeah, right. Davis is still, an absolute freak.
He's the best power forward in the NBA. I'm going to put it out there. Yes, Karl Anthony Towns, well, you could call him a center, but for me, Anthony Davis is genuinely probably spends over 50% of his time at the power forward. I mean, in the NBA, you can't really be a pure power forward or a pure center, unless you'll say DeMarcus Cousins or DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
But I think Anthony Davis will be an all-star. I think he'll be an NBA first team. I think, look, if he was on a top five team, not even like, or even a top eight team and not like one of the worst teams in the NBA, I think he'd be a legitimate MVP contender as well.
If he was on a better team, it's just a shame. Put him on a Thunder team or, you know, a Cavs team, and he's with numbers like that, he's winning MVP. But put him in one of those teams, does he get those numbers?
Yes. No, absolutely. Nick, you can't deny this guy's talent and this guy's skill set. Everyone thought last year it was going to be the explosion year for Anthony Davis, and everyone was like, the hype train was behind him, like it is with Karl Anthony Towns right now. I remember that specifically listening to a lot of NBA preview podcasts. But like you were saying, people sort of forgot about it. And it's just like, oh, there's Karl Anthony Towns, there's DeMarcus Cousins. Anthony Davis is a beast. And I hope the New Orleans Pelicans can fix what they're doing over there, because I love this guy. And he's great for the NBA. And it's a star-driven league. And Anthony Davis is one of those stars. And like, I want an Anthony Davis jersey. And like, I hope they can make them a legitimate contender within the next few years, because I think... yeah, I want the Pelicans to be a thing. I mean, for the city of New Orleans as well. Like, New Orleans is a great city. So, I mean, in terms of another MVP candidate, Nick, my MVP pick, Russell Westbrook Beastbrook. Do you think that this guy is going to have the most triple doubles in a season? How many has he got so far?
I actually don't have that stat. Oh, have I not come prepared for this? I believe it's three. He almost had.
Nick, you're the stats man.
He almost had four.
How could he not have it?
He had his. He had one. He almost had one in his first game. I think it was one rebound or one assist off. He obviously had that 50-point.
He's always going to be like that.
He obviously had that 50-point triple double. He had two in a row. His last two games have been quiet by his standards. He's still putting up 20 plus.
Yeah, 28. I think
quiet by his standards. Subtext. Yeah. You know, when you don't put up 50 points, it's a quiet game for Russell Westbrook. But we've got the records here. We've got Oscar Anderson with 41 in the 61-62 season, and Wilt Chamberlain with 31 in the 67-68 season. So we'll start slow. Will he break the 31?
Yes.
I think so too.
Yep.
Any discussion on that? It's just he is more so the star, you know, more so than before with Durant leaving.
Yeah.
He's more of the star in this team. 100% of the offensive plays.
I'd say
about 70% end with him, 100% start with him.
Yeah.
The problem I might see is potentially rebounds. At the end of the day, he is still a guard.
Yeah.
He can get muscled off.
But he loves getting those boards.
I think if one stat is going to set him back, I think it might be boards.
I think the stat that will keep him back is how many minutes per game that he plays. Like, he's a freak, and he's playing like 35, 38 minutes a game. Not many players can do that. And yes, Russell Westbrook is a freak of nature. But 31 games is, I think, he's got three already, and we've played six games. So, or we should look that up.
It might be an effect of weather. Sorry, go on, mate.
But do you think... Let's move on. We both think that he'll break Wilt Chamberlain's 67-68 season of 31. Do you think that he'll break Oscar Anderson's record of 61-62 of 41, which is 50% of games?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Do you think he'll do that?
You think of that. 50% of the games, you're getting a triple-double. It's
mind-boggling.
I don't think anyone will break that because it's a different game, unless the game progresses again into another era. I can't see it. I mean,
Nick, give me a number. You're the stats man. Give me a number.
I think he'll only just beat Wilt Chamberlain. I reckon 32, 33, which is still crazy.
Right, we'll do a...
You know.
It's still amazing.
It's still, insane.
Let's do another wager. There's a couple of wagers. So, like, you know, tell us what we're going to do.
You could end up eating my face three times this season. That's a very real possibility.
I think he's going to get 35. And whoever's closer at the end has to eat the other person's face. So, Nick, grow on a few faces if you can, mate. Because maybe I might be...
I'll grow a few layers of skin for
him. But, Nick, moving on to our team and player of the week. Who have you got, mate?
Performance of the week. I was told, I guess, to change this by a certain associate of mine. Who shall remain nameless.
J-Man.
Jack. But my pick is the Warriors against OKC. It was the biggest game of the week. It's hard to look past what the Golden State did.
Nick, let me talk about that very quickly. I told you to do the Lakers against the Warriors, you idiot.
Yes,
the
I know.
The Lakers is much better to...
Told me to do, but I'm not doing that. So screw you.
You're wrong.
OKC versus Golden State. They beat OKC, I should say, by 26. It was 96-122, which is a extremely good offensive display. And if you watch the game, that's exactly what it was. The plus minus from that game showed that every single player of the Golden State, except McAdoo, pretty much every single person, showed a positive in their plus minus. So everyone contributed, and it was KD shooting the lights out. Yeah, they shot over 50% from the field, 46% from three. Yeah, that was my performance.
You're too much about the stats, mate. Like the LA Lakers broke the internet. The LA Lakers, hashtag Nick's wrong, and hashtag let me do the team of the week performance of the week next week if you think he's wrong and you think the Lakers.
Lakers played well, but it's an equal part of the Warriors playing atrociously.
They beat them by 20 points. D'Angelo Russell, Lou Williams,
so bad.
You're wrong. Who's your player of the week, Nicky boy?
is it bad to take it from the same game?
Yes, because you'd be wrong.
All right. Who have you got?
I'm unprepared.
Exactly, mate. All right, I am going, and this guy is in my team of the week as well. Spoilers. Kevin Durant obviously shooting the lights out in that game. Shot 7 three-pointers, equal his personal best. from 11.
That's pretty good.
I just add?
Yeah.
15 from 24 from the field, 39 points all up. Absolutely destroyed OKC. And I'm kind of glad because I liked his move to OKC, but on that...
Disagree.
Yes, I know you do, but let's move on to Knicks / J-Pod's picks.
Can we change it to J-Pod's / Knicks picks? I think my name should be first because you were so horribly wrong last week.
I tend to disagree with you. Hashtag, hashtag James Harden is a shooting guard. Anyway, J-Pod / Knicks picks. We'll start at the point guard position. I just want to add in here some honorable mentions because the week is long, Jack. The week is long and there is a crap ton of games that happen and it is hard to, you know, pin down one team for the entire week. So honorable mentions. We've got Harden against the Cavs putting up 41 points, 15 assists in a loss, unfortunately. And the 15 assists, you know, 41 points is great. 15 assists is what grabbed me because, like I said last week, it's at least 30 points to your team. So that's at least 71 points off Harden's own hand. Jack, these are just honourable mentions. May I continue?
But you have him as an honourable mention in the point guard. So clearly I've changed your mind and clearly you know you were wrong.
Shut up. Lillard against the Mavs putting up 42 points, 12 from 18 field goal percentage in that win.
Jeez.
And Conley against the Clippers. I initially had Chris Paul because I saw his numbers, but then I saw what Conley did. 30 points, more points than Chris Paul, but shot 7 from 11, 3-point percentage, which is insane. But yeah, at the point guard position, I think, again, sort of no arguments here, unless you always want to argue with me, Jack. But I've got Russell Westbrook here. With his game against the Lakers, shot 11 from 21, 5 from 6 from three-point land, which is incredible. 33 points all up, 16 assists, which is insane, and 11 boards, another triple-double there for Russ.
Shooting guard?
All right, shooting guard. Again, some honorable mentions. Avery Bradley against the Hornets, 31 points, 58% from the field, 8 from 11 from 3. Many amazing three-point performances this week. And the shooting guard position was actually really deep. I had a lot of honorable mentions, so I'll keep going. Ian Clark against the Blazers in that win, 22 points from the bench, but 100% from the field. 100%, Jackie.
Yeah, that's...
You can't get much better than
100%. That's much better than you. I don't know. You'd like to call yourself a shooter. You'd probably have 10% from the field.
Yeah, probably, if that. Levine, who's been having a shaky start of the season, but he had a good game against the Grizzlies, 31 points in 29 minutes, 61% from the field. Easily his best shooting performance this year. Devin Booker against the Pelicans, forcing an OT.
Oh, boy.
Yes, my pick for sophomore of the year. Forcing OT with a long two-point shot against the Pelicans and, you know, getting 38 points in that win. It was OT, but 38 points is still a great effort. And then Dwayne Wade, we talked about him earlier in the pod. Dwayne Wade against the Knicks, 35 points, 71% from three. 71%.
Ain't that just like D-Wade?
Hitting 5 from 7 from 3. But the person
Jesus
taking...
Jesus paying LeBron or paying Dwayne Wade.
The person taking the taking the chockies, mate, is DeMar DeRozan. He has had an emphatic start to the season. And unfortunately, it was against Wiz Nation. Watching that game fully, whenever he got the ball, he could not miss. When I saw that it was 14 from 23, which is still a really, really good field goal percentage, but I swear he shot. I was probably too close to the situation, being a Wizards fan, but
a Wiz. But Nick, do you think that this guy's getting enough credit? Like DeMar DeRozan, we had him. SI Sports Illustrated had him ranked as, I think it was 42nd before the season started. He is not the 42nd best player in the NBA right now. No. He's the best shooting guard in the NBA right
leading,
now.
Leading the NBA in points this season. So, you know, if you're looking at it, that, he's the best player in the association. Obviously, there's more to it than that.
By points.
By points, yes. Well,
do you think it's a top 20 player? Do you think it's a top 15 player?
Well, so far. I mean, I don't think it was that far off what Sports Illustrated that had put at the start of the season, but he's just turned it up.
You thought before the season that you thought
maybe not top 40. Maybe not below top 40. That's a bit harsh, but I thought, you know, Lowry was a more important player, I should say, for this Toronto side. But now, I don't know. Obviously, early days. We'll see if he can keep this form throughout the season. But if he can,
Do you think that? Yeah. Do you think that he can take the Raptors to a top two seed, like we were sort of saying?
Well, I remember
I put
the Raptors as my number two in the East, begrudgingly, I guess, because you took the Boston pick,
the Celtics. Yeah.
And you asked me if they had peaked, and I thought in the playoffs they had. But they are proving that they can bring this playoff form into the regular season, and let's hope they can continue, because I would love to be correct about that, about something, you know. It doesn't happen too often.
Your whole life is wrong.
All right, mate. At the small forward position, we've got honorable mentions, your boy, King James, against Boston.
King James.
30 points, 12 assists, over 50% shooting, which is quite impressive.
Pedestrian for this guy. He does it. He does it day in, day out, mate. Like, you should just have like a permanent place, LeBron small forward, and then honorable mentions for everyone.
Well, breaking the 30 points is put him in this list. But like I said before, Durant, the OKC. Yep. I've rattled through his stats before. Amazing shooting performance. Let's move on. Power forward, honorable mentions. We got Paul George against the Lakers. In the last quarter, like his points, his stat sheet wasn't, you know, amazing. I think he's still got 22 points or something. But he saved the Pacers in that last quarter after squandering quite a large lead. They let the Lakers get back in.
You've experienced the full force of Paul George live at that Wizards game.
Have I ever? And when he turns it on, he can turn it on. And bring in that whole Bucks team. Sorry, Bucks. Bring in that whole Indiana team to, you know, force that win. But good on him. I've got Rudy Gay versus the Heat. 30 points, 12 rebounds in that loss. He's gone a bit underrated, I think.
He definitely has. I think he'll be a free agent. And I think whoever picks him up is going to pick him up at a very nice rate.
Yeah.
I would like to have him on the Brooklyn Nets. I'd like to get a Brooklyn. Like, we're really struggling with the small forward position. And I think Rudy Gay would be a nice centerpiece. Like, a big three of Jeremy Lin, Rudy Gay, and Brook Lopez. Ooh, we could push for a top eight seed with that.
Yeah, boy.
Rudy Gay definitely has gone under the radar.
But who's taking the power forward spot? Anthony Davis. Again.
Look, Nick, if this is...
I think I should make a tally and then tally it up at the end of the year to see who has won, you know, the most Knicks picks. The Nick Pick Brownlow medal.
I thought it was Nick J Pod's picks. Like, yeah, I haven't spoken at all during Nick's picks, J Pod's picks.
Yeah, but
apart from the fact that telling that you were wrong.
Hashtag this is Nick's picks. Anthony Davis with 35 points, 9 from 21 from the field, which is below 50%, but still not bad. But what I loved about his performance here was he shot 17 from 18 from the line, which obviously, you know,
something
highlights his ability to get to the line. And then shoot 17 out of 18 is insane.
Yeah.
Moving on, Jackie boy, taking the center.
Who is it?
just hold on, mate. We'll get to it. Cousins v. Orlando is an honorable mention. 33.7 rebounds. Hassan Whiteside v. Spurs. 27 points, 15 rebounds, 4 blocks. Was insane.
Well, he brings out the blocks.
Oh,
yeah, he's a
when he can just grab it out of the air, it's just, oh, it's a
Did you see that?
He's done that twice this season.
That is phenomenal. It is amazing. Like, it's just like his hands must be huge.
Well, most centers are. And then Towns against OKC, 33 points, 6 rebounds. 13 from 20 from the field in that loss today, which was quite unfortunate for Minnesota. But taking the 5 position is the Brook Lopez.
Yeah! Bro, love! I said Brooklyn. What? Give us the stats, Nicky boy.
Against the Pistons, I watched this game. It was so, so good watching him on the floor. 12 from 21 from the field. 4 from 8 from 3-point land.
Chopping them trays.
And 34 points, 11 boards for the game.
Nick, let me stop you right there. Is Brook Lopez the new Ray Allen? Is he going to fill that void?
You know what, mate? Yes. I'm all in. I am all in on Brook Lopez becoming the new Ray Allen.
All in on bro.
But yeah, that was Nick's pick / J-Pods, who didn't really talk that much. We'll tend to that.
Next week, if you want me to do my picks, please post on social media, because Nick's got some great stats and Nick watches a lot of the games, but I'm just a better person and I'm smarter than Nick. So # J-Pods
at picks. Basketball. Let's put that disclaimer in there.
And life.
All right. Moving on to the start of the week, mate. We'll quickly brush over this one. Again, you know, Durant's been a common theme of this podcast. And this stat has been coming from last season as well. And I believe I am right. There really shouldn't be any any confusion about a stat. But stat of the week is Durant has scored 20-plus points in now 70 straight games. And it is, whoa. I believe it's now, because when I wrote this, it was still 67. And he has had another 3 games of 20-plus points. And I believe it has broken MJ's 1990-91 record, because I believe he had 68.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's broken that record. Nick, and I can't see him scoring less than 20 points anytime soon.
No, definitely. But whenever you mention someone in the same breath as Michael Jordan, you know it's a good stat.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Jack, a bit off topic now because we've been pretty basketball heavy for a while now. What do you got for us?
All right, Nicky boy, last week I was talking about celebrities. Didn't get a lot of feedback on that, so I thought I'd try something new, something a bit off topic. This one's called the J-Man's Music. So this week I'm going to be talking about Damian Lillard's album, Dame Dollar. His new album called The Letter O, and even you listened to it, Nick, so you should be able to speak about it. But firstly, is Tony Parker the greatest rapper since Tupac?
I think you may be onto something there, mate.
If you haven't checked it out,
the video we did post it today. Well, yesterday on Sunday. Check it out. It's Tony Parker rapping in French, and it has changed my life.
Yeah, shout out to Ali O and my missus. She showed me it, and as soon as I saw it, I'm like, I need to call Nick. It was my birthday, and I'm like, it's the best present I've been ever given in my life to see that
Tony
video.
#Tony P, what's up?
But we should actually speak about Damian Lillard's album. But definitely, like, if there is anything you do before you die and leave this earth, you need to see Tony Parker's raps. Like, he raps about Eva Longoria and stuff, so it's a few years old, but it's horrible, but it's horribly beautiful. But Nick, let's talk about The Letter O, Damian Lillard, Dame Dollar's album. Came out a few weeks ago, and I gave it a listen, and I'm like, I remember listening to it, I'm like, this is actually really good. And I'm like, maybe I could speak about this in the podcast. And I asked a few different people for some feedback. And they're like, you know what? Yeah, why not speak about it? Because we're not going to speak about it for ages. But what were your impressions, mate? I want to hear what you thought about it. You thought it was a bit iffy. You thought it was old school.
Yeah,
what did you think?
It was very old school. And I like old school rap. Don't get me wrong. I don't know. It just... I am no expert in this, obviously. I don't listen to a lot of this music, so I am probably
Nick's
worst person to give
a
review
Will
on.
Smith.
Oh, mate. But it, I don't know. It just didn't sit. I didn't enjoy listening to it, if that makes sense. Like,
you are so dumb.
Oh, enough about my reviews, mate. This is your segment. Take over, please.
All right. So yeah, the letter O. It's a great album, and for those that are fans of Isaiah Rashad, it's not the level of Kendrick Lamar, but it has similar subjects, like talking about civil rights. It adds Damian Lillard brings his own personality to this. His flow as a rapper is very good. Like, he actually spits really well. And like, there have been other rappers, i.e. Tony Parker, Shaq, they've all been okay rappers. But Damian Lillard is actually a legitimately good rapper. And this is a legitimately good rap album. Some of the highlights on it, Watch Its Front, there's some Growth Spurt is a really good pump up song featuring rapper Dupree. There's two really amazing songs featuring Jamie Foxx, the song Plans, and another one featuring Wheezy, Lil Wayne, Loyal to the Soil. It's a really good rap album. And for those that are like their rap music, the youths of today, like myself, Nyx isn't very in touch with you youths or peasants. But
I
this
am
is a great
above
album.
You
it's
all.
Not You are not, Nick. You just don't connect with our listeners.
Go
or, like,
on.
If we ever, like, and it's, look, it's 48 minutes long. It's an easy listen, as much as Nick wants to say that it's not. It's just a great album. It has only peaked in the charts at a certain level, but Damian Lillard brings his personality. He brings some basketball flavor to it. And judging from it as a person who listens to a lot of music and actually writes a lot of music, and listens to a lot of rap music, this is a really good rap album. And if not one of my favorite rap albums of the year, it's a great rap album. I highly recommend it. The letter O, Dame Dollar. There's a reason why he's called Dame. Like, Dame Dollar's a sick rap name, don't you think, Nick?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, like if we would have a rap name, Nick, what would your rap name be?
You put me on the spot here. It's got to be like the worst name.
I'll be going. What would my rap name be? Jizzy J Man. Jizzy J Man dropping them dimes.
Very, Jizzy very J-Man. Wrong.
What would yours then be? Come on, give me something.
I have no idea. I am not Nick, in that enough.
Nick, nothing. Because you've
Nick
got
nothing.
You know
yeah,
nothing,
Nick, nothing.
And you with, can't rap about
if
rap.
You've got any, if you've got any rap names for me, let us know. Hashtag JBT Pod. But with that,
hashtag Nick nothing. Nick nothing is gonna be a Nick nothing. Nick, we're gonna go to a break because again, we get a bit too riled up and we're gonna be laughing. Stay tuned.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes. Welcome back, everyone, to JBT Podcast. Getting right into it, we're here into
Hip-hop
our
the hippo.
Social media segment. Very, very nice segment that me and Jack hold dear to our heart. You can get into contact. You can get into this segment, I should say, through hashtag JBT Pod. And we've got on Twitter, at JBT Podcast. Hit us up on Facebook at the same name, facebook.com/JBT Podcast, or email us, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. So, Fleeting 54, who we still don't know the name of, may I just add.
It's amusing, Aaron.
Got no idea who this guy is. hitting us up on Twitter regarding our DBS from last week. So, two votes for Durant dropped. Understandable. But feels bad, man. And this was last week. Okay. So after the week that he's had, you put there's arguments, I should say. There's arguments to put Durant back into that squad. But thanks for the input.
No.
Fleeting.
Like Fleeting 54 said, hashtag DBS tough call. It's a tough call.
It is the DBS is always a tough call. Hashtag DBS tough calls. Which he has hashtagged as well. Magus has hit us up on Magus has hit us. Luke Magri, I should say, has hit us up on
Facebook.
If Jack stops saying hashtag, let me stop you right there, Nick, then I'm not listening anymore. Hashtag, give the people what they want, mate.
Let me
Magus,
stop you, right there,
you can get out.
You can get
you
out.
You can get out, mate.
No, Magus, keep saying it. I will keep saying it till the day
the
I die.
It is the most frustrating thing in the world to just, you know, speaking and you're just like, oh, Nick, just stop me. Let me stop you right there. And you have to shut up. That's the worst part, Jack. You have to shut up.
You should have said it first. You should have said, let me stop you right there, Jack, because then it could have been a thing.
I'm going to start saying it, mate, and you're going to hate me.
No, because I started it first, and you're copying me, and you're less up. So you're jacking my swag.
But thanks for the message there, Maggers. If you've been following us on social media as well, we've got a nice picture that Ali has taken of Jack with a nice basketball ring on his head. And you should...
Ball is life.
Hashtag ball is life. Taking ball a bit too seriously there, Jack. You are not the ring. Come on, mate.
What about Heiser?
What about Heiser? Oh, yeah, Heiser. Well, Heiser, mate. Jason Pham, hashtag Heiser, has also been in contact with us on Facebook. And he's wondering, mate, how exactly do you eat someone's face?
You'll find out. You'll find out if I'm wrong.
Hashtag chopsticks. Sorry, Heiser. Had to be done. Courtesy of Charlie Emanuel there, so you can thank him for the burn.
Oh, no.
Adrian Formato has been in contact with us as well, kind of commentating the Suns and Blazers game with that crazy finish, and the Lakers game alike. Lakers beating those Warriors. So it was, it's good to get those commentary. Good to hear from you guys.
Yeah, definitely get to hear from love. Yeah, much love from Adrian as well. Like, two posts in 1 week. Keep doing it, Adrian. I challenge you, Adrian Formato, to give us three posts next week. And you'll get the number one shout out. I'll bring you home, I'll give you I shouldn't say that. I will bow down to you, sir, if you keep doing one post more each week. So I challenge you, Adrian Formato, to do three posts this week. And if anyone else is listening, all our friends and family, I challenge you to post on our Facebook. You'll get your shout out. My favorite poster this week is, I do like Maggots. Like, give the people what they want. Hashtag, let me stop you right there, Nick. I'm the most anticipated fixture. Quickly running through it. We've got November 8th. Again, this is London time, so check your local guides. T-Wolves versus the Nets. Kieran's team and my team. I think that'll be a really good game. My boys, again, are versing their cross-town rivals, the New York Knicks, November 9th. A really interesting game, this one, the Toronto Raptors at the OKC the same day on November 9th. The Blazers and Clippers is also November 9th, so another big day there. But for me, the game of the week, Nicky boy, Chicago Bulls versus the Miami Heat, D-Wade versus his old team. That's going to be a really, really good game, really interesting storylines happening there. That's on November 10th. Check your local guides. Let's move on
Want, Nick. All right, we have come to our, would you say it's our most popular segment? I will. I haven't heard any feedback in it, but screw it. It's our most popular section.
It's the one that I like the most.
Yeah. It's the one we like the most, and it's our DBS. For those of you who are new to the show, DBS stands for Drop, Bench, and Start. So essentially, we give you three names. And we'll tell you whether we will drop, bench, or start those three players. And you can let us know on social media if we're wrong. All right. Or in between. Yep. Whatever. So this week, we've got a bit of bit of an interesting one, Jack. We're not really dealing with greats now. Well, actually, they're greats in their own respect, may I just add.
Well, we're not dealing with the Kawhi Leonards, the LeBron Jameses.
We are arguably dealing with the better sort. We've got Brian Scalabrine, Nick Young, Swaggy P, and Matt Bonner, the red. So we've got the red, the white Mambas. I think it wouldn't be fair to have the black Mamba in here, but we'll stick with those two.
Yeah, exactly, because I think Kobe is in a league of his own. Kobe's the black Mamba, but the red and the white Mambas are Mambas. They're special Mambas, aren't they, Nicholas?
They're just shit snakes, mate.
Nick, give us your DBS. Who are you starting? Who are you benching? Who are you dropping?
I'm just going to start with dropping Nick Young. I hate...
Swaggy P!
I don't... Because this DBS is not, you know... I'm not going to start my best formation because these people won't be in my best formation.
But
so
this
is just
DBS, Nick.
This complete gag. Nick Young can F right off. I hate this guy. Swag.
I love him.
Hold on, mate. Do you want to know how, you know, nickname Swaggy P? Do you want to know how he got this nickname?
He gave it to himself.
Not even, mate. It is worse than that.
Wait, he gave it to himself, didn't he?
Technically, but not really. God came to him in a dream, Jack. His words, not mine. God came to him with a dream and said he should call himself Swaggy P. And his response,
well, let me stop you
his
right
response
there,
was,
let
no,
me stop you
mate,
right there.
Mate, let me stop God. You right there. His response was, yeah, I like that. I think I'm going to run with it. So
well,
he's just like talking
to
God
fair
casually.
To Swaggy P. God came to me in a dream and said that my nickname should be the J-Man or J-Pod, so I can resonate with
mate,
that.
Mate, you
can
get out
resonate.
Right now. You can join Swaggy P. And I mean, what does he bring? The only thing he brings to this league is, one, the controversy with Russell, King's which was, yeah. You know, all entertaining. But, you know, married, I believe, or engaged at least.
Yeah.
To you know, Australia's best export, and you can't see me, but Iggy doing finger quotes right now. Iggy Azalea,
first on the realist, Nick.
Who is potentially the worst thing to happen to modern music, but you know I'm old fashioned like that. So yeah, I am definitely dropping Nick Young.
Real wrong, mate. You're again wrong. You can't drop Swaggy P. Swaggy P is God. Swaggy P is life. Who you benching?
Matt Bonner. I mean,
the Red Mamba.
I don't really have much explanation for this. The only explanation is because I want to start the White Mamba. You've got to start Brian Scalabrine. He is
Why?
A character. I love this guy. I was watching a lot of his press conferences today after, and you know, he's a championship player. He has a ring.
How many rings has he got?
He's got one. He got one with the Celts.
He's got a really big
2009,
ring.
2009-10, I think it was.
Nick, let me stop you right there. Is he greater than Michael Jordan? Is he GOAT?
Yes. No. Hold on. Let's bring up some Brian Scalabrine career stats. And I got so depressed.
GOAT stats.
I got so depressed looking at these career stats. Brian Scalabrine, averaging 3 points a game, 2 rebounds a game, and 0.8.
Three more than you, Nick.
Shut up, Jack. And 0.8 assists a game. Oh,
hey, that's almost one.
What I love about Brian Scalabrine is that he's an NBA player with an NBA ring, with a dad body.
Yeah, like, he does have dad bod.
He's an NBA anomaly, mate. How does someone like that, play? I've got his playoff career. You know, he's been to 6 playoffs, 4 with the New Jersey Nets when he started his career, and then 2 with Boston.
Yep.
That's incredible.
He's clearly got some long. He must have some value as a player then. I mean, I don't know a lot of him about a player. I mean, you just rattled off his stats there. But if he's been in playoff teams 6 times, that means he's been on... Like, he must have some value as a player.
But hold on. Like, may I just add this? The 5 times he's been in the playoffs, he's actually played, and they haven't reached the finals. The one time that they won the final...
The ring... Yeah.
He played 0.9 minutes.
That 0.9 minutes won in the ring, Nick. Like, let's be real.
That is...
Real talk.
That's a bit more than 50 seconds on the court.
55 seconds, Nicholas. 55.
But yes, my only reason to bench Matt Bonner was because I'm definitely starting Brian Scalabrine. Mate, what have you got?
All right. I'm going to get controversial here. I'm dropping the White Mamba.
Mate, I guess from an actual team perspective, it's completely understandable.
Exactly. Like, I didn't write mine down in our Google Doc. I'm just going off the top of my head, and I'd drop Brian Scalabrine because he's the shittest player out of these three. Like, he actually is. he's the White Mamba, and he's the GOAT of the NBA meme world.
You can't put a price tag on experience, mate. When you play that many playoff games, he has deep playoff experience.
He's actually the GOAT of the meme world. Like,
oh yeah, the way he's embraced the White Mamba is incredible.
It's amazing. Like, I'm not sure what's bigger. Is it the 3-1 joke, or is it the Brian Scalabrine? Like, the Brian Scalabrine thing has had longevity. I wonder if this Stay Woke 3-1 thing is going to have the longevity the White Mamba does.
I think after a season, I think that'll be it. Unless they do it again. Oh, God.
True. I hope they do. But yeah, dropping the White Mamba, it feels right. I mean, like, last week I dropped Kevin Durant and I could barely say it. But I can easily drop the White Mamba.
Yes, but this is an opposite sort of this is an opposite sort of DBS. Can you say that you would happily start? Well, I don't know who you're going to start, but like, who start that person?
No,
exactly.
Because but hint hint, this player actually does start for his team. You told me.
I wonder who it is.
I wonder who it can be. I'm doing the same as you. I'm benching Matt Bonner. He's got a decent three-pointer. And he's a character as well that not many people know about. Matt Bonner, like, I think he has his own, like, steak sauce or something in San Antonio. I think he's got a ring as well. Let's go to his Wikipedia page. 2008, 36 years old. He is a two-time NBA champion, Nicholas. Two-time NBA champion.
Yeah, he is. He actually played a decent amount of games there as well.
His career statistics. Let's take a look.
Mate, I've got them right here. His whole career, 5.8 points per game, 3 rebounds per game from a center, and 0.7 assists per game for his entire career.
All right. Let me stop you right there, Nick. So, Bonner is a sandwich enthusiast. He has a blog titled, this is straight from Wikipedia, he has a blog titled The Sandwich Hunter, The Quest for the Holy Grail. That's amazing. That is amazing.
That is brilliant.
In which he documents his search for the world's best sandwich. Nick, we're starting a new podcast called The Matt Bonner Podcast, and we're just going to talk about all of his blog posts, because that is amazing.
I could definitely do that.
And during his tenure, like, this is just all GOAT things. Like, Matt Bonner, he's amazing. During his tenure with the Toronto Raptors, he received the nickname the Red Rockets. I like that. I prefer that than the Red Mamba. For his red hair and constant use of the public transit system in Toronto.
There you go.
Interesting. But Kobe Bryant took Bonner's other nickname, the Red Mamba, on Twitter while live tweeting during a televised replay of his 81-point game against the Raptors. So Kobe approves the Red Mamba. So, I mean, I don't know if he approves the White Mamba. So there's one thing that
the White Mamba Bonner does not have to be approved. He approves himself.
He's got a shoe deal. He has a shoe deal, Nick.
I would wear Brian Scalabrine shoes.
No, Matt Bonner.
Matt Bonner. Nah, see, I'd rather wear Brian Scalabrine shoes. Come on. Give the people what they want.
Nick, after this podcast is over, we need to look up both of their, like, if they've got signature shoes, because I want to get some Matt Bonner signatures. I've got Kyrie's and they're amazing. And I know you've got your John Wall's, but we need to get these guys' shoes. But listen to this. Like, how good is this guy? Matt Bonner and his brother Luke run a non-profit organization called the Rock On Foundation, in which they support community involvement in arts and athletics. I mean, this guy's a good dude. I might start him. You know what? I'm changing my mind. I'm starting Matt Bonner, and I'm benching Nick Young. Matt Bonner, you've won me over. I'm starting you, mate, and I'm benching Nick Young. I was originally going to start, you know, Swaggy P, because he actually starts for the LA Lakers, which I was surprised that you actually told me that. And, I mean, me and Swaggy, we have this affiliation. Like, I don't know. It's a connection that can't be explained, Nick. I'm the J-Man. I'm the J-Pod. He's Swaggy P. I mean, we both love our rap. He wore Yeezys during playing a basketball game.
God, that's why
Yeezys are a nice shoe.
God damn.
Yeah. And, I mean, Yeezys are a nice shoe. They're a cool casual fashion statement. But they are not basketball shoes, ladies and gentlemen. He wore them while playing. And he, look, Frankie Pete is probably the best player out of these three, I would say. Would you disagree?
Oh, well, yeah, but that kills me to say. That actually hurts me. Oh.
I think Matt Bonner might be just as good. I mean, Matt Bonner has two rings.
Career stats, mate. Frankie Career Peter stats. He is averaging 12 points per game, which is more than twice that of Matt Bonner. And more than four times that of Brian Scalabrine.
Stats don't matter, Nick. This segment where stats don't matter. If you have any different thoughts to our DBS, this has been the funnest DBS I've ever done. And this is the funnest segment every week on hashtag JVT pod. But Nicky boy, let the people know what, thank them. You call them peasants quite a bit. You'd think you're the goat of everything, the goat of the podcast world, but please thank them.
Thank you, people, for listening to JBT Podcast. Thanks for downloading and listening. You can find us on iTunes or any decent pod center as well. And remember to rate.
Give us the review.
Yeah, rate and review the show because it'll help other people find us to help add to the conversation, which is what we're all about. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can hit us up on Twitter at JBT Podcast or using the hashtag JBT Pod. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/JBT Podcast and also through email at jbtpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it's you guys that make this show great. So we appreciate any and every bit of correspondence heading our way. So until next week, keep bowling, superstars.
Hashtag KBS.